abuse. It's a form of self-denial, and any healthy denial of self teaches our flesh that God's spirit is in control. Losing weight is great, but the truth is that our pant size isn't what bugs us the most, is it? It's our failure to control our appetite time and time again. It's the overwhelming feeling that we're in bondage to food. It's the feeling that we're trapped in a body that has control over us. That's why we want change. That's why we need change. When we're self-controlled, we eat until we're satisfied. We exercise because we know it's a good thing to do. And we make healthy choices because we are following a plan instead of a whim. Is meekness a weakness? Not a chance. It's bridled passion under control. The pantry, chock full of food for thought. The main ingredient. One of the greatest characteristics anyone could possess is the ability to control their passion. Following a plan instead of yielding to impulse keeps us on a sure and steady path to freedom. A slice of advice. Candace, I know that you love Pilates and that you've been great in keeping your stomach flat. I saw you on VH1's Celebrity Slim Downs and you looked fantastic. I couldn't believe you have 3 kids and still look like you're 20. I'd love to try Pilates, but I don't even know what it's all about. Do you know of any online resources that have good Pilates videos? Or of any DVDs I can pick up to do Pilates at home? Also, is this something that I can actually do at home? Or would I need special equipment the gym would provide? I'd love to give this a shot. Merrily. Hi, Merrily. I was introduced to Pilates by my neighbor who lost her last 20 pounds and kept bugging me to go with her. She told me how much I love it and wouldn't want to do anything else. She was right. I go to a studio where they have Pilates equipment, which includes a reformer, a chair, and a tower. I found that in doing Pilates over the years, I find the results to be much better in a studio with an instructor than on a DVD with just a mat on the floor. I'm sure if a studio isn't convenient for you, DVDs would be a good option. The equipment itself is pricey, and unless you're totally dedicated to it, I can't imagine anyone purchasing it as a beginner, although I know there are some alternative products for in-home use. One thing I'd like to add is that if you find a studio, make sure the instructor is teaching you proper technique, aligning and adjusting your body so you can feel your muscles working, and instructing so you're sweating through the session. Many Pilates teachers can instruct in a slow, stretching type of technique. And as a woman who wants a good workout, this style isn't for me. I need to be pushed and move at a faster, harder rate. Hope that helps. Candace. A pinch of practicality. If treats or bonus points are a part of your healthy plan, try to save them for the end of the day when possible. It's always nice to have something to look forward to. However, if we consume our rewards too early in the day, we might give in to a feeling of deprivation. It's always nice to feel that balance when we've had a good day and can rest assured that enjoying a treat is a guilt-free snack. Be cautious that you don't overindulge. Choose your portion beforehand and stick to your rule. Enjoy every bite and remember that it's still going to be there tomorrow. Food for thought. A recap of scripture to meditate on. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53:7. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Matthew 21:12. The candy dish. The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be, in his moral life, as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson. But he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. A. W. Tozer. From my stove to yours, oven roasted broccoli serves four. Ingredients: 1 pound broccoli, rinsed and trimmed, 2 tablespoons olive oil, 2 cloves garlic, minced, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, 1/3 cup panko breadcrumbs, 1/4 cup finely grated Parmesan or sharp cheddar. Directions: combine oil, garlic, kosher salt, and pepper. Cut the broccoli into bite-sized pieces and coat with the oil mixture. Spread the panko breadcrumbs into a 13-by-9-inch cake pan and toast it in the oven for about 2 minutes. Remove it from the oven and add the breadcrumbs to the broccoli mixture, coating the broccoli well. Place the coated broccoli in the cake pan and roast at 425 degrees until tender, about 8 to 10 minutes. Remove from the oven, toss with cheese, and serve. You'll love it. Chapter 18, Leaving a Legacy. If you're married with children or hope to be in the future, this chapter's for you. It's my goal to encourage parents to leave a legacy for their children that includes more than our worldly possessions. In addition to the morals and faith we instill, we can train them to understand and care for their bodies. When I think about that, I'm reminded of the characters on Make It or Break It. The extensive preparation they go through for each routine is necessary to prevent them from stumbling, or worse, breaking their neck. It involves strength training, concentration, and balance, 3 things we all need to learn. Summer, my character on the show, is a Christian, but I still have to remind some fans that she's not me. There are certainly things about her that are similar to me and the way I live out my faith, while some things are not. We have the same hair, same eyes, and the same smile, but our characters aren't alike. It's a difficult separation for some viewers, and a job I try to monitor and discern wisely. In the same manner, I have to discern wisely when it comes to our children and the television programming they watch. I know that many of you were looking forward to another Full House, but haven't found it there. Frankly, I'd love it if this was a show that every member of my family could sit down and watch, but Make It or Break It is a teen drama with a rating of plus 14. When we started taping the show, it was exciting for my kids to see their mom back on TV. They got to come to the set with me to see how things were unfolding backstage. Natasha got to meet all my co-stars, while Max and Lev peered through the lens of a real television camera and helped the director yell, "Action!" They got to see where Mom gets that glowing skin that only a talented director of photography and great makeup artist can give, and they tiptoed on balance beams in between takes. I do allow Natasha to watch the show since it's right up her alley as a budding teen. But as a concerned and involved parent, we watch together, remote in my hand, so I can fast forward through any parts I feel are a bit too mature for her to see. And as for the boys, well, they're perfectly happy watching Monday Night Football instead. My job as a mom is to nurture and train each little spirit, body, and soul until they're grown, protecting what their eyes see, what their ears hear, and what food they're stuffing into their mouth. My job as their coach is to provide strength training, concentration, and balance until they're ready to step out on their own. So when Val and I realized that the schools weren't offering the most nutritious meals to our kids, we made a conscious effort to start packing lunches that would. Roast beef, ham, or turkey sandwiches on whole wheat are always a good option. And yeah, I'm also a peanut butter and jelly mom too. The juice box is something I loved as a kid, and it's still something I like today. So I'll rotate juice, water, and milk, switching it up so they don't drink sugar every day. Any mom with boys knows how much they love to wrestle and roll, so fruit doesn't always wear well when Max and Lev are carrying it around. By lunchtime, the bananas look like they confronted Mike Tyson, and the pears, Muhammad Ali. So I get creative and found some alternatives. The supermarket sells sliced and prepacked fruit, and the apples don't turn brown. These are a hit. Not a right hook, but a big hit nonetheless. I might also peel oranges, breaking them apart, and grapes are always a good option too. It's hard for some families to get past the habits they've had, but with a little concentration, you can find a lot of snacks that are fun and much healthier than potato chips. Snacks like 100-calorie cookies, air-popped popcorn, organic Oreos, goldfish crackers, and string cheese are just a few of the other ideas I've had. They also love celery with fresh ground almond butter or baby carrots with a side of ranch dressing. And once in a while, I'll stop at Subway and get them a sandwich and chocolate milk. But that's usually if I didn't have time to go to the grocery store and get my shopping done. If we are training our bodies, it's so important that we train our kids as well. Not that we're putting them on a diet, but that they're learning what types of food are good for them. What are carbohydrates? What are proteins? What are sugars and what types are good for you? What types of fats are good? And how much should you eat? These are questions we should be providing the answers to. It's good for us to know, but it's equally important that we teach our children. If we simply deny them, it won't go far without the knowledge as to why. Teach them that they should have a balanced meal with protein, carbs, vegetables, grains, and fats. Help them understand if they are going to play sports, then they should learn that carbohydrates and a little protein help us fuel up for rigorous exercise. Again, it's not about denying our kids ice cream or cake, but rather training them to eat these foods in moderation. Portion size must be learned. Are they going for seconds or thirds because it tastes great? Or do they really require more food? Here's the difference. Although I did have some good instruction, I didn't know how to eat properly growing up. It was one extreme or another for us. Remember how I said Dad was into cardboard-tasting yet healthy food, while Mom was sneaking donuts and ice cream our way? I believe that's why I struggled with weight. I wasn't trained to understand the importance of balance, nor was I strong enough to make healthy choices. I want to pass a legacy down to my children that equips them to excel. But I know that in order to do this, I have to live a compelling life that draws my children to live the same way. I look to the Bible, for example, where I see a young widow named Ruth, who is so drawn to the life of her mother-in-law, Naomi. One can only wonder what powerful effect Naomi had on Ruth that made her so willing to leave her own people and faith to follow her. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." Ruth 1:16-17. Naomi must have been a woman of virtue and strength to have made such an impact on Ruth's life that she was willing to desert her own people to follow her. I strive to be that compelling force in my family so that I can offer the best life possible for them. That must include the way I eat and the way I exercise. I don't want to see my kids struggling with yo-yo diets as I did. I'm not saying they won't, but at least I'm giving them a good start by offering an example as well as implementing it into their lives. Teach them along the way, both at home and when dining out. If they go to a restaurant, what are some good choices and what portion size should they eat? Get involved by discussing the menu with them instead of leaving it to their choice. Maybe you could offer them 3 healthy choices instead of sending them straight to the kids' menu for chicken fingers and fries. We are a guiding light to our families. So if we're keeping our healthy eating plan under wraps, it's kind of like hiding the light that could otherwise have a huge impact on their lives. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. Food shouldn't be viewed as an enemy or as a temptation they can't have. We can eat all things. We just need to learn when and how much. Food is fuel for the body and can be enjoyed, but it shouldn't become a stronghold in their lives or mine. Practically speaking to all you moms making dinner on a diet, get it out of your brain that your kids should be eating macaroni and cheese while you have grilled salmon and broccoli. Face the fact that you're in this together. There are so many wonderful foods to share with them, regardless of whether they like it from the start or not. Lev doesn't like tomatoes and onions, so if I make something for dinner, I'll reserve a little that doesn't have those ingredients, but I won't make him an entirely different dinner. I introduce new foods to them often to expand their palate. Check out the recipes I've included in the pantry. Maybe you don't typically eat eggplant or Brussels sprouts, and if not, maybe it's time for a change. Try a new recipe and let your kids try it too. The rule of thumb in my family is to at least try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat the whole thing, but you do have to try one bite. And you know what? More times than not, they think it will be gross, but they like it. Sometimes they don't, and that's fine too. But at some point, I will ask them to try it again. Their palate will grow over time if you continue to introduce new foods to them. You will be surprised at the things they will like, especially when they see mom and dad enjoying them too. My kids love roasted asparagus, and they love the cauliflower with anchovies recipe that I've included in this chapter. We have introduced such a variety of foods to our children over the years, developing their palate. It's no wonder people ask me how I get my children to eat the things they do and enjoy them. Listen up, you picky eaters. Don't pass your limited palate down to your children. It's another way of setting them up for failure with food. I want to encourage moms and dads to step out of your comfort zone, even if you don't normally like something, and try making it for yourselves and the kids. Then try it again next month, and be consistent about it, because taste buds change over time. Val is the chef in our family who can cook a beautifully fantastic meal, but as a busy working mom who doesn't share a passion for the kitchen, I need to make simple things with few ingredients. I've included our family favorites, things we consistently make and eat. Don't gag just yet, but the cauliflower recipe is my all-time favorite. Most people find cauliflower bland because we only know it raw alongside ranch dressing on a veggie tray. But there are so many other ways to prepare it. Cauliflower soup, cauliflower mash, cauliflower gratin. Can't you just hear my excitement? The cauliflower anchovy recipe at the end of this chapter sounds disgusting, I know. But there is no fishy taste, I promise. It's a wonderful, salty, roasted flavor that you'll be wanting more of. And you can indulge because it's so good for you. Try it. I've also included pork chops and turkey meatloaf, two others that are tasty and simple to make that your whole family will love. Veggies get so little attention, so I've included a few ideas to make as a side dish or to have as your main meal. You'll also sense a little bit of a Mexican theme with some of these recipes. I've included enchiladas, fajitas, and turkey tacos. Being raised in LA, there's a big Mexican influence, which we happily encourage when it comes to food. Huevos rancheros, anyone? But I'm sure by now you've noticed that we love all kinds of food. Good health is a lifestyle choice our whole family has made. The good choices that Val and I make are the same options we offer our children when it comes to their health. Our diet is no different than theirs. I encourage you to eat wholesome food. If it's something you eat in moderation, they should too. If you cut out fast food, it's not wise to make trips there just for the kids. It should be reserved for a treat or a special time. So while you are training your kids to make the smart decision on their own, you're also teaching them self-control. Another thing we need to share with our family is fitness. Heart health is vital, which is why my kids are active in sports. Exercise is incredibly important and an essential part of life. This is something Val's family passed down to him, and we are now passing down to our children. During the school year, our kids play sports. Lev and Max are currently playing hockey. Natasha joined the track and field team at school, and all three kids play tennis. Hockey's not something I'm on the ice doing with them, but tennis and running are activities I can play or do alongside them. They get excited when I race down the street or play a game of tennis, especially since they've gotten so good and can beat me. During the summer, we play sports together a whole lot more. I get a break from work, and they are out of school. Since we're only 3 blocks from the beach, all 5 of us will go there for a run. About 4 times a week, we run 30 to 45 minutes together. I love the smiles from people as they pass by Team Beret. We also do our beach exercises in the sand. Max loves to throw the frisbee, Lev likes to play football, and we all enjoy boogie and skimboarding together. It keeps us active while we're having a blast. Maybe you don't live near the beach, but if you live near a park, you can always go there and play football or soccer. Use trees or shoes as goalposts. There are so many fun, creative ways to enjoy your children and exercise with them. We bike ride too. In Florida, we take a great route near our house that went through an enormous park. But now that we're back in LA, the beach path it is. The path goes from our house through Santa Monica and Pacific Palisades. Not only are we teaching our kids good exercise habits, but it's working for us too. You don't have to be sweating it out at the gym alone. Life is about living. A mom can be overwhelmed thinking about how to find time to work, exercise, run errands, prepare dinner, do the laundry, and spend quality time with her kids after school while they do homework. But if you think about it, you can spend time with kids, outside getting fresh air, and exercising together while dinner's cooking in the oven. How's that for multitasking? If you are a list person like me, you can check off a few things at once. Dinner, exercise, spending time with the children, teaching good habits. It's done, all in one shot. It should feel less overwhelming when there is a practical way to exercise with the family. This kind of behavior draws out our children's attention and piques their interest in us. Once we have their attention, we can instill the value of health that they can carry for years. All it takes is a little strength training, concentration, and balance, 3 things we all need to learn. Exercise will encourage activity and an interest in sports, which leads to good health. Be that compelling person your family needs you to be, and start letting that little light shine. The pantry, chocked full of food for thought. The main ingredient. Healthy food shouldn't be reserved for moms and dads on a diet. If you are making better choices for your life, you should be making them for your child as well. Good health should be a family affair, a legacy we can pass down to our kids. Slice of advice. Dear Candace. Candace, I want to ask if you have any thoughts about how to teach our little ones about Christ. I have 2 boys, ages 2 and 5. I try to teach them about God, and we read Bible stories at bedtime, and we pray and talk about God here and there. Maybe it's just a developmental thing, but my 5-year-old seems so aloof. When he prays, he's just repeating the words he's heard me pray. It doesn't come from within himself. And when I try to teach him about God, he's looking off into space or trying to play with something. It is so frustrating to me because more than anything, I want them to know and love the Lord. I'm not sure if God is just still an abstract idea to him, or if he just doesn't have a reverence for God yet. Would love to know your thoughts. Thanks so much, Delaney. Dear Delaney, you sound like you're doing a wonderful job with your children teaching them about Christ. Don't be discouraged if your 5-year-old doesn't get him yet. He's 5. Yes, I know some children who have professed their love for the Lord at the same age, but everyone develops differently. The most important thing you can do is to love your children and teach them about God. Continue to read with them, play with them, and nurture them. Don't think that reading those Bible stories is all for nothing. You'll be surprised one day when your son is asked about something and he'll recall a Bible story mommy read. Kids are like sponges. They soak it all in. Some kids just don't squeeze it out till later. I love the Way of the Master books for kids. It's a really fun way to learn the Ten Commandments and the story of creation. Remember that the best way to teach your kids at a young age about God is to reflect within yourself the things you're trying to teach. In other words, live out your life for Christ. Your actions will speak loud and clear. Keep up the good work and put your worry to rest. God loves your boys more than you do. Can you imagine that? Candace. A pinch of practicality. When you take your kids out for ice cream or a donut, walk there with them. The first time our friends took their kids, Blake and Chloe, out for a donut, it took them a good 25 minutes to get there. They grumbled a bit, but they enjoyed the donut enough that they wanted to go again the next week. The treat is worth the effort. Get them to ride their bikes or a scooter if it's a little farther for them. Or get the whole family to grocery shop together and each carry a bag home. That will also teach some good manners. Another practical tip I can offer is that I purposely hand my boys the groceries every time I check out of the store. Or I'll stop in front of the doors to wait for them to open it, so they'll learn how to treat a lady well. Food for thought. A recap of scripture to meditate on. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." Ruth 1, 16 and 17. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. The candy dish. Children are the seeds our days plant. Anne Voskamp. From my stove to yours. Cauliflower sautéed with anchovies. Not a big fan of cauliflower or anchovies? Trust me on this one and try it at least once. There is no fishy taste, but it's salty and fantastic. It's my all-time favorite. Serves four as a side, or I eat the whole thing for dinner. Ingredients. 1 medium head cauliflower. 3 tablespoons olive oil, 4 to 6 anchovy fillets, drained, pepper to taste, water if needed. Directions. Wash the cauliflower and break it into small florets. Also, chop the stems. Heat a large skillet over medium high. Sauté the oil and anchovies in a skillet just until you see the anchovies have broken down. Add the cauliflower, season with pepper, and stir to coat. Cook on high heat for about 20 minutes, adding a little water if you need to so it doesn't brown too fast. Turn the heat down to low and cover for about 5 minutes or until cauliflower is tender. Chapter 19. Being good isn't good enough. Do you trust God enough to enter His rest? Listen to this verse and let it soak in for a minute. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I am not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Philippians 3, 10 through 12, The Message. Paul wasn't merely hoping to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was also willing to be a partner in the sufferings of Christ. When we look at the trials Jesus faced throughout His life, and even more so on the day of His crucifixion, we see grief, fear, shame, regret, hunger, thirst, wrath, terror, judgment, and death. Christ's vigorous journey to the cross and his obedience to the Father remind me to let go and let God. The Bible refers to this letting go as entering into his rest. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Hebrews 4:11. Rest and the cross. Can the two be compared? Absolutely. Let me explain why. When we enter his rest, we give up our fight. His hand takes over and begins to animate our lives like the shell of a puppet. It's not easy to put down our will so that his can be done. It's not easy to face shame for his sake or judgment or terror, but we might when we choose God's will over ours for our lives. What about hunger and thirst? Do you know that hunger is a running theme throughout scriptures? God fed the Israelites on manna for 40 years to teach them that he alone sustains life. Complete dependency on him is the eternal lesson we all must learn. Dependency equals rest. Again, we see this complete dependency from Jesus himself in John 19. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Verses 28 through 30. When I look at lessons like that, my diet, my struggle to eat well and move more, to stop when I'm full, pales in comparison. It's just one thing of many that I had to hand over to God in my life. Let me paint a scenario. You've eaten a good dinner, stopped when you were satisfied, and feel pretty good about the choices you've made. 30 minutes later, the TV goes on, and the family starts rummaging through the kitchen for a television snack. Suddenly, you get the munchies. Your brain starts off slow and then goes into a wild frenzy of arguments, giving you every reason you deserve to eat more than you should. Telling you that you can break the rules just this once, even though you know that last night, and the night before that, and the night before that, were the just once days too. Say no. What's the worst that can happen? You suffer a little internal sting while others around you indulge. As Paul said, make every effort to enter into his rest, which includes the resolution that God, and only God, can sustain us. Making it through the little lessons helps to strengthen us for the tougher ones: grief, fear, shame, regret, wrath, terror, judgment, and death. It's not easy to put down our will so that his can be done, but I promise you this, it will bring peace to your life. In all areas of my life, I continue to put down my will for his. That includes health, family, friends, and work. Working in television and movies today can be difficult for a Christian. And at times it's difficult to know where to draw the line and when it's okay to say yes. That's when I use conscience and prayer to decide. I've worked on a few things that I have regretted since becoming a Christian. There's no turning back. However, now that I have a biblical worldview, my decisions are different, and my options are fewer. Some agents will tell new actors that they can't be picky about what they work on if they intend to establish themselves. In fact, many of them will push actors to audition for everything and will encourage them to take whatever is available. There's no doubt that acting jobs aren't increasing with the takeover of reality television. They'll tell you not to worry about compromising on the small stuff now, because if you start working regularly and develop a name for yourself, you will have more opportunity to pick and choose then. Entering into his rest means that I must pick and choose. I don't want to compromise my moral standards for some time in front of the camera, and I certainly won't work on something that could lead any searching soul astray, or as Paul says, fall by my example of disobedience. This has made it difficult to be a Christian in the entertainment business at times. Many TV shows and movies today don't uphold the standards I value as a Christian and as a mom. I am blessed to work with managers and an agency that are fully aware of where I stand morally, who know that I won't go on auditions if they compromise my faith in any way. Honestly, it's not easy to find those people who are willing to work like this when there are so many other talented actors who are willing to take any and all roles. If an audition comes along and there isn't much information on it, I get the sides in advance so I can decide either to take it or pass, just like I do with Natasha. I hope I can be like the Apostle Paul one day, who wants to partake in the sufferings of Christ. I want to live in obedience, but there's always a part of me that hopes that obedience will turn in my favor. Being putty in his hands, resting in his plans, and laying my burden at his feet means that I'll be a different wife, mom, daughter, friend, and actor than the world would expect. It means that I'll be animated by the hand of my Lord, ready to do his will when he speaks. I can't be salt and light if I become like everyone else. God has placed me in a position that's wonderful most days, but at other times, it's a sobering place to be. I realize that being in front of the camera on national television, standing on stage in front of an audience of 10,000 people, and being a mom to my three little kids are all tasks that come with enormous responsibility. I don't take any of them lightly. As a Christian, I know that the day will come when I stand in front of my Lord and give account for every word that was spoken. I pray his response will be, "Well done, my good and faithful Candace." But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12:36-37. The idea of entering his rest is confusing at times. On one hand, we're instructed to cease from our labor, and then James 2:20 tells us, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? So what gives? Do we work or do we rest?" I have a line of t-shirts, and one of the best sellers reads, "Being good isn't good enough." It makes people look when they see it, because it would seem that I'm expecting perfection, when in fact that's not what it's saying at all. It's a great conversation piece to get chatting about the Lord. If you think you're a good person, you should ask yourself, "Am I good enough to go to heaven?" The answer to that is found when we measure ourselves against the principles of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20. Number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Number 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything. Number 3, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number 5, honor your father and mother. Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. Number 9, you shall not give false testimony about your neighbor. Number 10, you shall not covet. I've broken all of those 10 commandments, and if I'm certain of one thing, it's that you've broken them too. But Candace, you're saying, "I haven't murdered anyone." And unless you're sitting on death row right now listening to this book, I get your point. But Jesus explained that if you as much as hate your brother, you are guilty of murder, because God sees the thoughts and intents of our heart. By that standard, I know I'm a sinner, and it sends me to the one who paid my fine for the moral law I have violated so many times. As I kneel at the foot of the blood-stained cross, I know that I'm saved by grace and grace alone. My salvation has nothing to do with my goodness, because in the light of that holy law, I don't have any. My freedom is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I could never be good enough to enter heaven on my merit alone. But because I lean on Jesus as the author of my faith, I am animated by his will. When I think of entering into his rest, I imagine myself lifeless, waiting for the hand of God to bring me to life. I think of myself an empty shell ready to be moved by his will when it is no longer me who's living, but God who is living through me. When God lives through us, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. That is where works by faith comes in. Even Jesus himself gave up his will in Matthew 26:39. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." In fact, the entire life of Christ was to do the will of the Father. Another t-shirt I have in my collection is Growing in God. If you see my website, you'll notice that growing in God is a running theme in my life. Millions of people watch me grow up in front of their eyes on television. And now I'd like you to watch me continue growing in faith. Some Christians in Hollywood don't share their faith. Others, like my brother Kirk and me, want nothing more than to let our faith shine. We've taken a public stand, not only because Jesus tells us to, but because our hearts have been convicted of our sin and the urgency to warn others. There's no second chances. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, NKJV. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." To illustrate this point, I'd like you to imagine that you are a scientist and you have discovered the cure for cancer. Millions of people in the world are dying of cancer. So what do? Simple. You give people the cure you discovered so they also can live. See, this cure shows the urgency in the need for the cure. It's the same thing with sharing the gospel. People are dying every day without knowing the Lord. These people will spend eternity separated from God in hell. But we as Christians have the cure. We know who can save these people from hell, and that cure is Jesus. We need to point people to Jesus so they can live too. I have so many great fans who have supported me over the years through my days on Full House, and now as they watch me play Summer on Make It or Break It. Many have witnessed a change in me and have heard me freely talk about my faith. Sometimes the reaction is good, and sometimes it isn't so pleasant. People are going to expect me to be the same person I've always been, but when the Lord saved me and I became a new creation in Christ, I started growing in God. It isn't always easy to stand strong in my faith, especially when I know that many in the media are waiting for me to slip up, for me to give reason for ridicule. But nevertheless, I do it because it's God's will for my life. Because I live an integrated Christian life, my walk with him penetrates all aspects of my life. That includes my family, finances, work, relationships, my thoughts, everything. God wants all of me, including the Candace I am at work. Not just the Candace that goes to church on Sundays or tells Bible stories in the privacy of her home. No matter how long I've been a Christian, I continue to pray that the Lord will rule in every area of my life. God has changed me in ways words can't describe. He has transformed the way I think and live my life. Things that were once important to me are no longer vital. I can't help but share the good news with everyone. I know nothing is more important, and I know that without Christ, the eternal consequences are devastating. I urge you to surrender your whole life to Jesus. Turn from your sin and trust in him with all your heart. Pick up a Bible and start reading it now. Let me leave you with this. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained." Acts 17:30-31. Let's close this book in prayer together. Dear Lord, Thank you for teaching me the divine lessons of self-discipline. I pray that as I practice each lesson, I'll cherish its worth in place of my goal. Help me find the strength to live a self-disciplined life at all times. Help me discern where I need to change and exercise my will when the going gets tough. Thank you for the struggles I face and the fruit that each triumph brings into my life. Give me strength when I'm teaching my body to yield to your divine spirit when I need wisdom to lead. Give me examples of people to follow so that I too can learn. Show me ways I should change and give me the insight to do it. Help me make life-changing choices that not only grow me as a person, but also impact the world that I affect every day. Help me to obey your word as my heart guides my head. Teach me contentment in all that I do, so that I can say with all certainty, it is well with my soul. Amen. The pantry, chocked full of food for thought. The main ingredient. Walking in faith isn't always the easiest path, especially when the world holds so much distraction for us. But if we want to live a victorious life that is free from the pull of the world, we need to include God in all that we do. God doesn't call us to be good. He calls us to repentance through his son Jesus Christ, and through that repentance, we desire to serve. A slice of advice. Dear Candace, when it comes to sharing my faith, sometimes I prefer just to act as an example or love on people because I have trouble putting God's love into words. How do you share your faith without appearing condescending, judgmental, or preachy? Jenna. Dear Jenna, great question. It can be so hard and intimidating to share our faith with others. I'm not nearly as bold as I'd like to be at times, and imagine that I've missed many opportunities. I always try to act out my faith by example and to be loving in all my actions. That simply is the fruit that's given to us by the Holy Spirit when we've received Christ. But the Bible tells us to go into the world and make disciples. This isn't just something for evangelists to do, or for us to do if we feel called to share the gospel. Mark 16:15-16 says, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." This is an urgent message for all believers. That last sentence is the reason we must share our faith. I highly recommend One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven by Mark Cahill. This book will equip you with ideas for starting conversations, examples of witnessing situations, and answers to common questions. Don't be intimidated to start a conversation because you think you won't know all the answers. Chances are, you won't. But you can always say, "I don't know, but I'd love to find out the answer to that and get back to you." And do. Sharing your faith with someone doesn't need to turn judgmental or preachy. In love, you can develop some methods to start up a dialogue by simply asking questions to get others thinking. Just remember, it's all about planting a seed. It's not about winning a debate. You don't need to get an answer for God on the spot. That's between them and God, all in his perfect timing. And one last thing, witnessing is all about practice. Keep on engaging in conversations. You'll find tremendous blessing from it. Candace. A pinch of practicality. If you are looking for ways to share your faith, one way you can start is by giving him the glory for your health and well-being. If someone asks you, "How did you take off the weight?" tell them you did it God's way. This great conversation starter can lead to a discussion on faith. It can also be a great way to help another woman get healthy too. The best way to sharing our faith is by being a walking and living example. So roll up your sleeves, do the best you can, and live a life that compels other people to follow the Christ you love. Food for thought. I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally. experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there is any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Philippians 3:10-12, The Message. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Hebrews 4:11. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. John 19:28-30. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12:36-37. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? James 2:20. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26:39. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:18-20. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. Acts 17:30-31. The candy dish. I want to know how God created this world. I am not interested in this or that phenomenon, in the spectrum of this or that element. I want to know his thoughts. The rest are details. Albert Einstein. From my stove to yours. Fresh herb chicken breasts. Serves 4. Ingredients. 4 boneless chicken breasts with skin on. 2 medium cloves garlic, pressed. 1 tablespoon fresh squeezed lemon juice. 2 teaspoons chopped fresh sage. 2 teaspoons chopped fresh thyme. 1 teaspoon chopped fresh rosemary. 1/4 cup chicken broth. Salt and cracked black pepper. Directions. Season the chicken breast with a little salt and pepper. Turn oven to broil and heat to broil. Leave a metal broiling pan in there to heat. Place the chicken in a pan and return it to broil. Careful not to have the pan too high in the oven. Turn heat to low. Broil for about 15 minutes or until the chicken is done. In the meantime, prepare your herbs. Heat chopped herbs, lemon juice, broth, pressed garlic, salt and pepper on medium for about 30 seconds. Once chicken is done, remove the skin and slice the chicken as desired. Pour the herb mixture over chicken.
This concludes the reading of Reshaping It All, Motivation for Physical and Spiritual Fitness by Candace Cameron Bure with Darlene Schacht, copyright 2011 by Candash Incorporated. This book was read by Candace Cameron Bure. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Riggins International Rights Services, Incorporated, and was produced in 2011 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.blackstoneaudio.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.